Welcome to the National Community Church Podcast. We're thrilled to be able to share this weekend message with you from Pastor Joel Schmidgall, our executive pastor at NCC. If you'd like to subscribe, find us on iTunes or go to theaterchurch.com.
Well, hey, Merry Christmas. Can I say that? I guess not. Y'all didn't say anything back. Try again. Merry Christmas. There we go. You guys are so responsive, man. Well, it's good to be here. You know, I really did not realize when you have one of your kids enter into middle school, how much time consumption that actually takes for you. Like, all of a sudden, the homework is like a couple hours a night, and it's not just homework for them, is it? Oof, man. And so I've lost a lot of time this past semester just working on arithmetic and all that good stuff. And I still don't understand how they do math. What are they talking about where they have that different way of doing it? I'm like, no, just do it the old school way, Ella. I don't care what your teacher said. Here's how we're doing it. Carry the one. And but it's interesting this past week because Ella was studying for a test and she started asking me about a man named Nelson Mandela. And so she started and she said, Dad, so he spent most of his life in prison, and then he got out and just became president. Said, Ella, isn't this amazing? He was in prison because he was fighting for injustice and against apartheid. And he was in all the way until he was 72 years old. And I said, can you imagine what it had to feel like for him to get out and see the fulfillment of his dreams? And it took me all the way back to when I was just a little bit older than Ella. And my dad had come home from work. And I asked him to go out and play some ball with me. But he was just glued to the TV. And I was kind of pushing him, come on, let's go play, Dad. And he said, no, sit down, Joel, and watch this. And so I sat down, and I watched as an old South African man was released from prison. And I'll never forget the smile on that face. Remember that smile? Nelson Mandela's smile. One of the purest, most beautiful smiles. And honestly, like, I actually spent too much time this week thinking about, like, a top five list of smiles, right? And I'm not going to waste your time today, but I would put him at the top of the list. Why? Because there's something behind the smile, isn't there? All that fighting and pushing and working and praying and waiting allowed him to become a president who then gave away the power to the people, allowed him to be a man who loved boldly, who brought two groups who were separate together for the first time ever. He became a prophet to a nation. Listen what he had to say. He said, difficulties break some men, but make others. No axe is sharp enough to cut the soul of a sinner who keeps on trying, one who is armed with the hope that he will rise even in the end. Ask you a question today. If you were to go back and you could go talk to Nelson Mandela 20 years prior to his release, what advice would you give to him? You know, you'd probably say something to the effect of, you need to just keep holding on. Come on, keep going. Don't give up. Keep working. Keep praying. Keep waiting. Second question is this. Whatever advice you would give to him, who needs to receive that themselves today? Turn that advice right back around, and whatever situation you have where you feel like you're done or overwhelmed or there's too much, do you need to receive that same advice into your own soul today? I think when we get into the holiday season, we get to the end of the year, a lot of things happen in our emotions, don't they? And we start to think about the regrets and the things that haven't happened yet, or the things that have happened already, and it's overwhelming, and we start thinking about those specific, okay, why are my parents still separated? Or it's another year gone by, and we still have brokenness in our family. How does that still exist? Or maybe that person is not in your life yet. Or maybe you haven't found the job. You haven't found the dream. You haven't even found the purpose or the direction for your life. We need to hear that advice to ourselves today. Our story is a continuation of last week. So it's Jesus and, I'm sorry, it's Mary and Joseph coming into the temple, and they're bringing Jesus, the Christ child, to be dedicated, to be consecrated unto the Lord. And when they come in, they're met by two people, Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna have been waiting their entire life for this moment right here. And this is their Nelson Mandela moment of joy, okay? There's smiles. Maybe they would have made the top five. I don't know. But they got a big smile, and they exude joy in this scripture. But we know this, that the joy, it came because of the waiting. I also know this. There's nothing in life that gets people more angry than waiting, right? Come on, where's my people out there? I know y'all are with me. You're going to leave me hanging, okay? I'm going to start with the kids. That's where I'm going to start, okay? And so, okay, you know, I'll say as a dad, I'll say about anything. I'll say yes to about anything. But it's just a matter of timing, okay? So, Dad, can I have a cookie? Yes. When? After dinner. No, Dad, come on. I need it now, right? That word now. If that word had a face, I'd punch it. Right? I didn't say that. Who said that? That word now. We always want things today, right here, right now. We need it, but we know that 99% of us think other people need to learn how to wait, as long as we don't have to get in line to register that complaint, right? And I know it for me. Like, I'm a young man, and I want to drive. Dad, can I drive? Yes, you can. Great. When? When you're 16. Oh, come on. Or my little girl, she says, Dad, you're never going to let me get married. I said, Ella, that's exactly right. You're never getting married. You don't need to get married. So, no, I'm just kidding, Ella. She doesn't laugh at that, by the way. I'm just kidding. I say, if there was a guy in the long distant future, if there was a guy who came along and learned to love you sincerely and learned to treat you respectfully, and you got married, that would make me happy. As long as you were over 40. And I was dead, right? No, I'm just kidding about the dead part. I'm kidding. Here's the deal, and tell me if you agree with this. I think generally, parents, is this true, that what our kids want, and this is not everything, but for the most part, what our kids want, we actually want that for them, don't we? But you know what? Here's the deal. We just don't want it yet or now, right? Because why? Because you need to suffer like I suffered. Oh, that's an inside voice coming out. No, the real reason is because we know that they're not ready. So, okay, the benefits of marriage, they don't come unless you're mature enough to get to the benefits of marriage. Or the benefits of driving. We know you don't get to the benefits of driving if you don't have hand-eye coordination, know the rules of the road, and know all these other things. You have to be ready to receive. And so we know this concept, we know this idea that a benefit given or a blessing given to somebody that's not ready, that blessing is not a blessing. That blessing, it's a curse. And here we are, our spiritually mature 8-year-old selves, coming to God the Father, asking him for the car keys. What do you think he should say? No. What? No, are you crazy? Come on, I didn't. Or maybe we're a little bit more mature. We say, can I drive? He says, not yet. He says, come on, I'm ready, and I need that. But we need to understand something. There's a maturity that comes in this idea right here. There's a difference between no and not yet. It takes some maturity and some time to understand the difference. But we as adults, listen, we have lost the art of waiting. And everything around our culture and technology leads and builds towards this idea to satiate the now, right? And you can sit at your desk and you can order any song or any book. You can get it right there. You can actually sit on your couch and do all your Christmas shopping. Isn't that amazing? Come on, where's my... And so you can do just about any... My friends told me about this app that you can actually pay someone to go wait in the line at one of these nice restaurants so you don't have to do that. Right? Anybody tried it? Do we have anyone out there? All right, we got to check it out today or not. I don't know. You don't have to wait in line at Subway, so it doesn't matter. But that you can get anything just at the touch of a button, at the touch on your touch screen. Everything is fully accessible. We have lost this waiting. Years ago, Timex did a study on waiting for different things. And I just want to share a few of these. I think these are kind of fun. It showed that we'll wait 13 seconds before we honk at a car in front of us that stopped at a green light. Okay, we'll wait 26 seconds before we shush people who are talking in a movie theater. Wait 26 seconds before we take the seat of someone who's walked away. We'll wait 20 minutes for a blind date to show up before we leave. We'll wait 20 minutes for the last person to show up for Thanksgiving dinner before we dig in. Now, are you thinking the same thing that I'm thinking after hearing this? These are the most patient people that I have ever heard of in my life, right? Are you kidding? 13, are you kidding me? I think DC law says 2 seconds and no more, and then you have to honk your horn for 13 seconds, right? Or 26 seconds waiting for a chair at a table. We don't do that. No, what do? We go hover. If they're taking too long on the entree, we're starting to hover over their table. How we doing? We turn into a waiter. Can I take that plate for you? We'll sit down at the table and start dipping bread in the oil if they're not moving at all. A blind date, 20 minutes. I guess it depends on what your friend told them about how good looking they are, doesn't it? And that, I tell you what, if it was Nina, I'd still be waiting 15 years later. I'll tell you that much. Huh? I don't think she would have waited for 30 seconds. But hey, it's too late now. I got that honor. Here's the deal. We cannot stand waiting. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the truth. Thanks for amening the opposite point of what I'm trying to make today. I appreciate that. I want to invite Dr. Matthews to come, and we're going to stand for the reading of God's Word. Here's what's so powerful about His Word. Exactly what we're talking about today, they are opposite. Simeon and Anna are opposite, and so receive this story as it's read.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom and what the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So Luke, our author, he's quite delicate about age, isn't he? How old are these people? They're very old, he says. All right, okay. But I think there's some observation to make out of the scripture. They had waited a long time. And here's the thing that we noticed, though. They weren't angry. They weren't bitter. They were not resentful. They were quite the opposite, weren't they? These are kind, sensitive, aware people. How did they become who they were to be able to present the Christ child? They became exactly who they were in the waiting. It was in the waiting that God developed who they were, and you are waiting for God to reveal himself to you because you haven't gotten the reward yet. But Simeon teaches us something else. He shows us that he got a revelation from God before the reward ever showed up. In other words, what's it saying? It's saying this, that God is not just in the reward, but God is in the waiting. We need to know this. Somebody needs to hear this today. You are waiting and frustrated and feel like, where is God in all this? And God says, I'm exactly right where you are, developing you and making you. Life goes wrong and we want to give up on our weight. We want to get overweight. We want to let go, but hold on, because Simeon and Anna, they do something. They are able to present and to welcome Christ into the world because they embraced a waiting. They didn't let go of their weight. I love what City Father and Bishop Alfred Owen says. He says, don't let your weight become your weight. Don't let your W-A-I-T become your W-E-I-G-H-T. But let your weight become your worth. And they embrace this season of waiting. And they allow themselves to be discipled and moved and cultivated to become who God had destined them to be in this moment. There's a big difference between passive waiting and active waiting. One is over here. One is just sitting back. The other is standing up. One is standing to the side. The other is persevering and it's preparing. One is just lazy and the other is in hope. The word hope in Hebrew is the word yachal, and it means actually to wait as well. And so it's this word that is used in the planting portion of farming. And so we see that it's waiting for fruit. And so it's the parable, or it's the idea of sowing and reaping. We see in sowing, there's an active waiting in sowing. And we see when you sow a seed, you're not making the fruit, but you're preparing for the fruit. So we're just going to do something fun for just a minute. We're going to do a word picture here today. The difference between passive waiting and active waiting. This is really simple, but here's what we see. We see we've got a plant with soil up here, and passive waiting is this. You've got your soil, you take some seed, you drop your seed in the soil, and then you sit back. Boom, we're done. Okay, active waiting is this. You got some soil. You take that soil in, and you're going to turn it over, right? You're going to mix it up. You're going to turn it. Then you're going to take it, and you're going to till it, all right? You're going to move it around and till it and make it ready for what is to come. Then you're going to take that seed, and you're going to drop that seed in the soil. And then you're going to take some fertilizer, and you're going to fertilize that soil. And then you're going to take some water and begin to water that soil. And both of these things are similar, but we see that neither one actually controls the destiny of the fruit that is to come, right? You say, actually, the second one kind of does a lot more. No, it doesn't. The destiny is in the seed. The nutrients are in the soil. But the soaking, that comes through the servant who is actively waiting, who is doing the best they can with what they have. But they're also learning to trust. They're learning to lean into God, and they are learning and developing the character of God in their life. There's a reason I have never met a farmer that I didn't like, because they know the value of working and they know the value of waiting. There's a fine line between passive waiting, active waiting, and controlling waiting, though, isn't there? Some of us overstep that bounds, and it's those moments where we say, God, you're not on time. God, you're not working on my schedule. God, you need to show up. Where are you? And so what do? We decide to take the reins away. We decide to take over, and we're going to make it, and that's when things go bad, don't they? Because we're going to push, and we're going to force it, and we're going to water. And we're going to make this thing happen, and it's going to happen, and you can't stop it. And what do? We just keep going. And what do? We flood out the opportunity that is in front of us, and the seed gets choked because we try to force our way. Have you ever tried to force that promotion? You ever tried to force that relationship? Hey, how'd that work out for you? How'd that go? Have you tried to force finances? Have you tried to force that move or that repositioning? Waiting can be tough. It can be boring, let's be honest. It can be time consuming. It can be frustrating. It can really get your anger boiling and your anger going. We want what we want, when we want it, how we want it, and we want that thing. Somebody say right now. Right now we want it. We don't want to wait, but I know this today, that some of us are here and we are hurting today, or some of us here in the past, we have suffered. Why? Because we did not wait. And if we could have a do-over, if we were honest, we'd go back and we would not lose our weight, because there was some addiction that happened in our lives, or there was some heartache, or there was some less than that occurred because we gave up our weight. Think about how many babies Simeon and Anna probably saw come through the temple. How many years went by where they were just, okay, when's it going to happen? And Simeon's got to be getting anxious, and the temptation was probably, okay, when is this going to happen? All right, well, that baby looks good right there. That baby's beautiful. Look at how, look, they got a shine. They got some oil on them. That baby looks savioric. That's got to be the baby. I'm going to bless the baby. We got to do this. I'm going to bless the baby. Bring the baby. I'm going to bless it, and I'm going to be at peace, and it's going to be good. But no, he doesn't give up his weight. He continues to wait and cultivate. But the American way is to make things happen, right? You got to make it happen. You got to go get it. You got to hustle. Come on, put it on your shoulders and make it happen. But tell you what, there's something to be said for waiting for a revelation from God and then moving with conviction. I'm walking a fine line here, and I know it today. It's a tricky balance. And I want to acknowledge the balance. When it gets practical, whew, you realize what kind of balance we're talking about. How about this? Do we need to go get the fertility treatments? Or do we need to keep going this path and see what happens? Whew. That's a hard decision. How about this one? Do I sign up for that dating app? Or do I see if things happen in the natural course of relationship? Or do I start pursuing those other jobs? Or do I start kicking my resume out there to all these different opportunities? Or do I remain faithful where God has set me? And here's the thing. What might be right for one person or one couple, that could actually look very different for another person or another couple. The point is this, it's not an exact science. We're not talking about science today. I'm talking about a relationship today. To get in relationship with Almighty God, to begin to cultivate and hear the voice of God. Simeon, he was ready, but he heard the prompting of the Lord. How did he know this was the Christ? Because he had spent time in his presence and hearing and listening to him. The world will tell you about the hustle, and there's something to be said about the hustle, and there's actually good in that, isn't there? But my point is this, don't try to take the story away from God, and don't try to start writing your own storyline. But listen, be aware, be sensitive to what God is trying to do. What is God trying to say? It's not just about what you want, but it's about who you are becoming. Come on, I'm going to say that one again because somebody needs to receive that, and it will save you some serious heartache in life. It's not just about what you want. It's about who you are becoming. And then that changes the equation, doesn't it? So that hard job that you want to get out of, you want to get out of, no, instead, God has you there because it's not about what you want. It's about who you are becoming, and that it's the exact job that begins to develop your character into a different person that makes you ready for the reward. Where are we seeking and staying with God? I think of Amy and Adam Hammond, and they found each other later in life, and they tried to have kids, and for a number of years, they couldn't have kids. And so then they went down the adoption track, and that wasn't going well. So they went down the fostering track, and that didn't go too well, too, if you know our system in D.C. government. But thank God for D.C. 127, who came alongside them. And eventually, they got a little blessing, a little foster child, and they started loving. But they were open, and they were vulnerable, and they shared their weight. They shared that with their community, with family and friends. And then that miracle call came. And it came from an extended family member because they had shared their weight with others. Now, there's a side sermon right there that I'm not going to preach. It's not in my notes, but I'm going to at least say it. Most of us wait alone, don't we? But we need to wait with others. You need to share your weight with the people around you because then, you know what? They can help carry your weight. And this is what happened right here. And so they share this, and this extended family member who had spent their life taking care of little ones thinks of them because they shared, they were vulnerable in their weight. And then they had also become active in their waiting. So they're already caring for children. And so they say, man, that's the right couple. And so a mom has a baby, and they can't take care, they can't raise that child. And so this woman calls up the Hammonds, and a baby who had no home didn't just find a home. She found a name. Amen. Little Bella Hammonds came into D.C. Come on. And Bella showed up, and Bella is just so beautiful. And here's the thing. Would they have written their storyline like this? No. But could it be a more perfect, more beautiful story? No. They waited. We try to force God to work on our schedule, but let me tell you something today. He may not come when I want him, but he plans to be on time, doesn't he? Come on. He may not be on my schedule. He may not do what I want him to do when I want him to do it, but he plans to be on time. And the enemy whispers different plans, and he whispers different purposes, and he tells you something different and gets you off the road, but the enemy has no place. But God's plans and God's purposes will prevail. And we say, God, speed up. God, come on, let's go. What are we doing here? Let's move. And God says, I'm going to slow things down. I don't like that. But he knows that I need some perseverance. He knows that I need to develop some long suffering. I need to develop some patience in my life. He knows I need to learn what a revelation from God is. He knows that maybe I need to go broke before I get some money. He knows that I need to experience pain before I step into power. He knows that I need to take a look down at the bottom. I need to go under before I come back over. Some of us, there's a little taste of hell in our life, but guess what? God has some heaven around the corner. We will not accept that reality, but he will take us to a new place. Nelson Mandela, imagine if 50 years earlier he would have become president. Who knows what would have happened? But he had suffering and pain in his path, and it led him to be a president that gave power back to the people. Anna and Simeon were the same way. Simeon waited in expectation. Anna waited in faith. Simeon was this man of readiness, a man who lived in obedience to the promptings of God. And he knew this idea that waiting with anxiety is not waiting, that's worrying. But waiting with expectation, that's faithfulness. And then there's Anna over here. And Anna didn't get a revelation from God, did she? She was just hanging out. And here's Anna. And I think a lot of us, we relate more with Anna, don't we? I don't have a revelation. I don't know what's next. I don't got my 5-year plan. I don't know what's coming down the pipe, but somehow Anna got in the mix with the miracle, didn't she? It's because she was praying to God and she was in proximity with his people. Anna's an interesting story. It says that she was 7 years married and then became a widow. So we know in that culture that around 12 or 13 years of age, you would get married. So that puts her about 19 or 20 years old. She should go, according to culture, go and get remarried. It says that she's from the tribe of Asher, one of the lost tribes, on the verge, potentially on the verge of extinction as a tribe. So the greatest worth that culture would have told her in that season of life would be to take her femininity and to use that by getting remarried and then childbearing. She didn't do it. No, instead, she remained single and devout unto the Lord. And God chose her to usher in the new covenant. He chose her right there. I wonder if there's a storyline there that somebody needs to hear today. Because culture is telling you what to do. Or somebody is pushing you or prodding you, or they're putting their expectations on your head on what to do. But you need to take something from Anna today. And you need to hear this today. You be who God has called you to be. I don't care if you're at the top of the ladder and people are trying to cut you down. I don't care if you're at the bottom of the ladder and people are trying to push you away or whatever is going on. I don't care if you're married or you have kids or you're single. I don't care what it is. You don't let culture tell you what you need to do. You listen to the voice of God and be who he has called you to be, because Anna knows this. She knows. Listen, what do you want is not the question. The question is this: what does he want? Say, I want to do that, but I don't know what I want to be. What do I do? Well, Anna was in prayer. She was in proximity. What does God want? I'm not saying today, you do whatever you want to do. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you be who God has called you to be. For Anna's sake, that was actually harder. It was harder to go that route, wasn't it? But she did it. She pursued Christ. She went after him. I wonder what you do want, though. Do you want contentment, success, a relationship? Maybe you want kids. Maybe you want that promotion. They're all good things. But should they be our focus is the question. Andy Stanley said, it's not what I am here for, but it's who I am here for. Her waiting was about a who. It wasn't about a what. Those that devote themselves to themselves will end up only with themselves. Those that devote themselves to others will end up more than with themselves. Lurking in the shadows of what we really want are the values that we really need. We think what we want is what we want. Right? We think what we want is what we really want. But then we get what we want. And we realize that's not what we want. Right? I hear this all the time. I want to get married. And then a couple years later, I want some freedom, right? I want that job. And then a couple years later, that job is horrible. I can't stand that job. But Simeon and Anna, they teach us something, don't they? They show us that our wants actually can be reshaped if we're active and waiting. And they show us this, and Simeon says, mine eyes, remember this? Dr. Matthew read this so beautifully and poignantly. My eyes have seen your salvation. And he knows something. Salvation is not in the what. If there's anything that's in the what, wouldn't it be salvation? You take us from that and you take us to something. It's in the what. No, he understands that salvation is not in the what. Salvation is in the who. What we think we want is not really what we want. But Christ is the answer. Christ is the meaning to all our wants. If we're just willing to wait, God will actually reshape our outcome over time. He'll reshape our wants. They wanted political provision. That's what they wanted, to overcome an authoritative regime. They wanted political provision. They wanted to get out of Jerusalem or a new Jerusalem, but that's not what God gave them. He said, no, that's not what you're going to get. You're not going to get what you want. You're going to get what I want. And know what that was? Eternal life. I got something better for you. It's different. And can we just be real for a second today? We're praying for the Douglases, and we're praying for them, and they're praying, and we're all praying, and we didn't get what we wanted, did we? 288 days of blessing, far beyond what the doctors said. But we wanted more, didn't we? And we prayed for more, and we didn't get that. But just as in this scripture, they didn't get what they want, but God had something greater than what they wanted. And just as we wanted more days, God has something greater. And Romans 8:18, I woke up yesterday morning with that scripture in my spirit. I can't even remember. Did I say that today? I don't even remember. But it talks about this present suffering. It cannot hold to what is to come. The glory of God revealed in us. And so the suffering that we understand right now, his glory is greater than our wants. And he gives us more. I think the holidays, I'll close with this. The holidays are like a microscope, aren't they? And it focuses us in on all those little things, on the blessings and the things that we should be focused on and the good thing and the priorities, but it also focuses us, it focuses us in on the hurts as well, and on the anger, and on the loss. I know that's there for many of us. It focuses us in on the not yet, and it becomes a hard season for so many of us, and it's tough, and somehow our culture has turned Advent upside down. And so in the season of Advent leading up to the day of the birth of Christ, we get more and more stressed, don't we? And we get busier and busier and angrier and more upset and more frustrated. And it's the opposite, where Advent is supposed to be a lessening of yourself and a time of reflection. And the closer we get, the more we think about the wonder and the gift that God has given to us and the reorientation that he gave to our souls. But we're so locked in, and we just give in, don't we? We just give in to what culture says. Here's what you got to do. Here's who you got to be. And if you're anything like me, and I want to invite our worship team. Worship team, if you go ahead and come and you can start playing. But if you're anything like me, I often don't have the discipline. I just kind of give in. I don't have the discipline to stop, to pause, to reorient my mind, and to allow God to bring his peace into me. So I'm going to be your discipline today, okay? I'm going to be your discipline, and I'm going to give you back a few minutes. And in these few minutes, I'm going to open up the altars. And if you'd like to come forward, many of us need to reposition ourselves. We actually need to get in a new position or a new posture before God. And when we do, God does something new in us. So I'm going to open up the altars. Or if you want to stay at your seat, you can do that. But in these next few moments, we're just going to seek the Lord. We're going to worship him. We're going to stop. We're going to pause. We're going to wait. We're going to reflect. We're going to actively seek the presence of God to overtake our lives. And so, Jesus, we do exactly that right now. We come to you in your wonderful blessing and presence, God. And we take these next few moments and pray, Lord, that you would yank us out of our rhythm. Lord, pull us out of our habits, we pray. And now we ask that you would reorient our minds and help us to be active in waiting. And Lord, we pray in all of our hurts and struggles and trials and not yets and all these different things, Lord, I pray that we would come to you and that the peace of Christ, which transcends our understanding, that it would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So we give you these few moments and pray that your kingdom would come right now.